So national retail sales just went up 1.7%, which, on paper makes it sound like the everyday consumer is thriving. But what if I told you almost all of that growth is literally just people paying more to fill up their gas tanks?
Right. It is a completely disguised reality. The headline number looks great until you actually dig into what people are buying.
Exactly. Welcome to a special deep dive brought to you by Eureka Business Group, your premier commercial real estate broker in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, specializing in retail.
We are really excited to get into this one.
Yeah, our mission today is to equip you, whether you are an investor, a landlord, or a tenant in the DFW area, with an absolute unfair advantage. We are going to unpack the true state of the market as of late April 2026.
And to do that, we have curated a stack of 50 top U.S. commercial real estate headlines from just the past few weeks. We layered that over an 8-day rolling summary of macroeconomic and regional data.
Right, because when you look at the national headlines right now, the environment just looks incredibly chaotic. But as we filter this data, a very specific, highly lucrative picture is emerging for Dallas-Fort Worth retail. So before we look at the brick-and-mortar reality, we really need to look at the consumer's wallet to understand who is actually shopping.
Well, understanding the consumer's purchasing power is the only way to accurately interpret what is happening on the ground. When you isolate the data for Texas, and specifically the DFW Metroplex, we're seeing structural outperformance.
But you have to contrast that with the national headwinds, right? I mean, going back to that Reuters report I mentioned showing retail sales rising by 1.7% in March 2026.
Yes, that is the perfect example. A massive portion of that increase is driven entirely by a 15.5% surge in gasoline station receipts. So consumers are spending more money, but they are spending it on the fuel required to commute and transport goods. They are not spending it on discretionary items at the mall.
It is honestly like looking at a company's booming gross revenue while completely ignoring the fact that their operating expenses just tripled. The top line number looks fantastic, but the actual discretionary cash is just evaporating.
That is a great analogy. And this dynamic is directly reflected in the broader economic data we are tracking right now. The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index just slumped to a record low in April.
And that is specifically driven by these fuel and shipping shocks, right?
Exactly. Plus, we see the March Consumer Price Index hitting 3.3% year over year. Because of this, Deutsche Bank, alongside a recent Reuters poll, is officially predicting that the Federal Reserve will push any interest rate cuts back to late 2026.
Wow, late 2026. So this prolonged inflationary pressure is causing a severe bifurcation in the commercial real estate market. Discretionary retail is under immense stress, obviously, but necessity-based, open-air, and net-lease retail centers are absolutely booming.
They really are. I mean, people still need groceries and basic services, regardless of what inflation is doing. And institutional capital completely recognizes this shift.
Right, our sources show some huge moves there. Getty Realty recently invested $125 million at an 8.2% yield, and then Essential Properties closed $388 million in investments at a 7.7% cap rate. So why are these specific yield numbers acting as a trigger point for institutional capital right now?
Well, those yield numbers are critical because they represent positive leverage in a high interest rate environment. When borrowing costs are elevated, institutional investors need to secure cap rates that sit comfortably above their cost of debt.
So they can actually generate immediate, reliable cash flow.
Precisely. An 8.0% yield from Getty Realty signals to the market that necessity-based retail is pricing at a level where the math still works. You do not have to rely on cheap debt to make a profit. Institutional money is prioritizing safety above all else right now.
And a net lease property with a grocery or pharmacy anchor offers that durable, predictable income. But the high inflation and delayed rate cuts driving this flight to safety are also creating a massive secondary effect on the supply side.
Yes, the supply side is fascinating right now. Because inflation remains high and debt costs are frozen at these elevated levels, new commercial development has basically ground to a halt.
High rates make buyers want safety, but they actively paralyze the developers who are trying to build new supply. Which actually brings us to the construction freeze. This is arguably the ultimate retail tailwind for existing asset owners.
It really is. According to CoStar's first quarter 2026 data, U.S. retail construction is effectively stymied at 64.2 million sq ft.
And just for context, that figure is well below 2025 levels.
Yeah.
And it is far under the 10-year average, which normally sits at around 90 million square feet.
Right. It is a massive drop-off. The mechanism behind this freeze is straightforward, though. Elevated land costs, severe labor shortages, and expensive debt mean developers simply cannot justify the financials of a new build right now.
But Texas happens to be a lone bright spot in this national construction freeze, doesn't it?
It does. Dallas, Houston, and Austin are actually the only markets in the country with development pipelines over 3 million square feet. But crucially, CoStar notes that the space in the Texas pipeline is already mostly pre-leased.
Wow. Okay, so the fact that the Texas pipeline is predominantly pre-leased means even the new construction coming online will not create a surplus of available space.
Exactly. This lack of speculative building fundamentally alters the supply and demand mechanics of the region. CRE Daily specifically reported that because nobody is building competitive new supply, existing owners are seeing the strongest valuations in a decade across active shopping centers.
Wait, hold on. I want to make sure I'm following the exact logic here. We have high interest rates, expensive building materials, and severe labor shortages. Typically, those are the exact macroeconomic headwinds that absolutely terrify the real estate industry.
Right. Normally, they do.
But you are saying that for the listener who already owns an active shopping center, these exact headwinds are actually creating a massive, highly profitable, protective moat around their asset.
That is exactly what I'm saying. The macroeconomic headwinds acting as a barrier to entry for developers are simultaneously acting as a protective moat for existing landlords.
Because if a developer cannot afford the debt or the materials to build a competing strip center across the street from you, your existing tenants inherently have fewer options to relocate.
Precisely. Your space becomes a scarce commodity, and that structural advantage perfectly explains why big institutional capital isn't hiding right now. They are actively hunting for stabilized retail assets, specifically in Texas and the Sun Belt.
Yeah, we are seeing some massive transactions in our sources that validate this specific thesis. For instance, Ares Management agreed to take the Houston-based Sun Belt Shopping Center REIT, Whitestone, private in an all-cash $1.7 billion deal.
And what is particularly notable about that Ares transaction is that they paid a 12.2% premium to execute it.
Right. I mean, paying a 12.2% premium in an all-cash deal to take a real estate investment trust private is a massive signal to the broader market. It suggests the public markets were severely undervaluing those durable Sunbelt retail cash flows.
Absolutely. Private equity clearly saw an arbitrage opportunity there. And we are seeing these aggressive moves right in Eureka Business Group's backyard, too.
Oh, definitely. JLL recently brokered the sale of the Village at Allen. That is an 851,457-square-foot power center sitting on 110 acres, and it sold to Sterling Organization.
It is a massive property, and at the time of the sale, it was 92% leased, anchored by heavy hitters like TJ Maxx, HomeGoods, and HomeSense.
A power center like that is incredibly valuable because those large anchor tenants generate the daily, recurring foot traffic that the smaller inline tenants rely on to survive.
We are also seeing this national appetite extend heavily to grocery-anchored centers. For example, a 7-property East Coast portfolio just sold for $115 million to MediPower.
That is a lot of movement. But, you know, when we look at these billion-dollar private equity buyouts and massive portfolio acquisitions, it does raise an essential question for the everyday DFW investor listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
Does this influx of institutional capital validate the local market, or does it ultimately just price out the local players who cannot compete with all-cash institutional offers?
Well, it heavily validates the market, first and foremost. It establishes a firm pricing floor based on the conviction that Sunbelt retail assets are premium, durable investments. Institutional capital moves into a region because the long-term demographic and economic data guarantees return.
So the big money is confirming what the local boots on the ground already knew.
Exactly. And for the local DFW investor, this does not necessarily mean they are priced out, but it does mean their strategy must evolve.
Right. The everyday investor might not be buying an 850,000 square foot power center.
No, probably not. But they can capitalize on the halo effect of that institutional investment by targeting smaller adjacent properties or finding value add opportunities, which actually leads directly into how the retail tenants themselves are radically changing their physical footprints to survive.
Yes, this is a huge shift. While landlords currently hold the leverage on supply, the tenants are actively resizing and repositioning to survive the changing consumer habits we discussed earlier.
Our data highlights that 7-Eleven is closing over 600 stores when you combine their 2024 through 2026 activity.
600 stores is a massive contraction.
It is. They are abandoning their traditional pure convenience model and shifting aggressively toward a larger food service-led model. This strategic shift is going to dump a very meaningful amount of small box roadside retail space back onto the market.
And honestly, a major retailer vacating hundreds of roadside spots could be the greatest moment for adaptive reuse in the small box sector that we've seen in a decade. One retailer's closure is another operator's prime real estate opportunity.
That is exactly how investors need to be looking at it.
If you are working with a broker who deeply understands municipal zoning and local traffic patterns, which is exactly what the team at Eureka Business Group provides, those empty convenience stores become highly strategic targets.
Absolutely. A 3,000-square-foot building on a hard corner with existing parking is the perfect shell for a drive-through coffee concept, a quick-service restaurant, or even local service-based retail like a veterinary clinic.
It is entirely about how you reposition the physical asset to meet modern consumer demands. But conversely, while 7-Eleven is shrinking its footprint, other major retailers are actively expanding through strategic consolidation.
Right. Look at Bed Bath & Beyond. They are acquiring the Container Store and F9 brands, which includes Cabinets to Go and Lumber Liquidators, for roughly $300 million combined.
And they are completely rebranding and rolling out combined 21,000-square-foot stores.
The mechanism behind that Bed Bath & Beyond acquisition is just a brilliant real estate and synergy strategy. By acquiring those brands, they are not just buying market share in the home goods sector, they are acquiring premium existing retail leases at a significant discount compared to the cost of sourcing and building new real estate.
That makes total sense. By consolidating multiple complementary brands into a single 21,000-square-foot box, they create a one-stop destination for consumers,
which maximizes foot traffic and extends the duration of the customer's visit. This significantly reshapes the home retail leasing landscape because it creates a highly efficient, high-volume tenant for landlords.
And it is not strictly limited to home goods either. L.L. Bean is heavily expanding its physical retail footprint, announcing 8 new stores in 2026, and they're accelerating to 8 to 10 openings by 2027.
So physical retail is not contracting across the board. Retailers are just optimizing their square footage to maximize revenue per square foot.
Right. But retail expansion requires consumers. Retail real estate fundamentally follows jobs and rooftops. And the reason Eureka Business Group is so focused on Dallas-Fort Worth is because the region is currently acting like an economic gravity well.
The macroeconomic growth happening here is actively securing long-term retail demand by importing a massive high-earning workforce.
Just look at the institutional anchors fundamentally shifting the landscape here. The Texas Stock Exchange is coming to Dallas. It is expected to begin trading in July after raising $275 million.
Globist reported that this financial infrastructure is officially elevating Dallas from a regional Sunbelt hub to a true gateway market for global capital.
Furthermore, DFW continues to lead the entire nation in corporate headquarters relocations. The region has secured over 100 headquarters since 2018.
And that includes 11 interstate and international moves in 2025 alone.
When corporate headquarters relocate, they bring thousands of high-paying jobs, which immediately creates demand for housing, schools, and naturally necessity-based retail.
The sheer scale of that corporate migration is staggering, and it is firmly supported by massive peripheral development projects that guarantee long-term daytime traffic and workforce stability.
Like the Super Studios project, right?
Exactly. Super Studios is currently breaking ground on a $750 million 75-acre film production campus in Mansfield. This is a massive multi-phase project that includes sound stages, camera-ready housing, hotels, and integrated retail components.
You are essentially building a localized microeconomy that will employ thousands of specialized workers.
Yes. And meanwhile, in the digital infrastructure space, DataBank just secured a historic $2 billion construction loan for a 300-acre data center campus in Red Oak.
$2 billion is just an astronomical figure for a single localized market.
It is. And what is critical for retail investors to understand about that DataBank project is that the first three buildings, totaling 600,000 square feet, are already fully leased. This perfectly aligns with CBRE's finding that DFW is now ranked as the most attractive North American data center market for investors.
These are not speculative corporate builds at all. They are driven by immediate, locked-in institutional demand. When you bring a stock exchange, a 75-acre film campus, and billions in data center infrastructure to a single geographic region, you permanently alter the employment demographics.
You permanently alter the daytime population density, which is exactly what retail relies on.
It is almost like building a layered cake. The massive data centers in Red Oak, the $750 million film studios in Mansfield, the new Texas Stock Exchange, and the over 100 corporate headquarters, they are all acting as the foundational layers. They are the flour and the sugar.
They are the heavy infrastructure investments bringing the highly skilled, high-earning workforce to the DFW Metroplex.
Exactly. And retail is essentially the final layer of the cake. It is the icing. Once that dense, well-capitalized workforce is permanently established here, the local retail thrives. Those thousands of new employees require grocery-anchored centers, fitness facilities, restaurants, and home goods to sustain their daily lives.
That is the perfect way to visualize it.
So, to synthesize the narrative running through all 50 of our curated market headlines today, the through line is incredibly clear. On a national level, persistent inflation is severely squeezing discretionary consumer spending, while simultaneously freezing new commercial construction due to elevated debt and material costs.
But locally, it creates an entirely different reality.
Right. If you own or if you are looking to acquire necessity-based retail in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you are sitting in one of the most supply-constrained yet economically explosive markets on the globe. The institutional capital is moving here. New retail space is virtually locked.
This unique environment is exactly why partnering with experts who understand the granular details of this specific market is so critical.
100%. Eureka Business Group serves as your boots-on-the-ground guide to capitalizing on these exact trends. They help you navigate everything from shifting tenant footprints and adaptive reuse to acquiring stabilized assets in high-growth corridors.
Well, as we conclude our analysis of these sources, I think there is a final forward-looking concept to consider. We spent significant time discussing how existing retail is benefiting from a lack of new physical supply and how human tenants and brokers are adapting to changing consumer footprints.
Right, adapting to the 7-Elevens and the Bed Bath & Beyonds of the world.
Exactly. However, one of our sources noted that a manager of a 9,000-unit residential apartment portfolio is currently testing new artificial intelligence tools to actively find and place tenants.
Oh, wow. So AI is actually executing the leases now.
Yes. AI is rapidly moving past simple data analysis and is being heavily integrated into real estate marketing and residential leasing execution. This raises a highly provocative question regarding the future mechanics of our industry.
I can see where this is going.
As artificial intelligence begins to master the complexities of residential leasing patterns and demographic movements, how long until algorithms completely take over commercial retail site selection?
That is a wild thought.
Think about it. Will an AI model soon be able to calculate which specific hard corner in Dallas-Fort Worth is the mathematically perfect location for a new 21,000-square-foot consolidated Bed Bath & Beyond long before human brokers even identify the demographic trend?
Makes you wonder what the role of the broker will look like in 10 years.
The intersection of automated technology and these hard supply and demand metrics is undoubtedly the next great frontier for commercial real estate.